Well, good morning again. How are we doing this morning? Perfect. I love that. I am so excited to be here. I'm excited anytime I get to worship with y'all, but especially excited that Jimmy has allowed me to step in for him. He's in Savannah this week having the time of his life with the Savannah Bananas, which I am very jealous. He sent us a picture. Most people don't know that Savannah is actually the birthplace of Methodism in America. And it was Wesley's home base for his entire American mission. And Jimmy was walking downtown in Savannah and stumbled upon this, what felt like a 20-foot statue illuminated of John Wesley in his very stern face. So he sent that to all of the pastors. It's like, it's Wesley. So it was wonderful. He's having the time of his life. I'm excited to be here. Today we're continuing on our prophets series, and our prophet today is one of my absolute favorites because he's not as well known as the others, and I'm excited to get into that with you. But before we do, there's a survey that went out 5 years ago now, by the Gospel Coalition, and they surveyed young pastors, seminary graduates under the age of 35, to collect some data from them. And what they found was 85% of seminary graduates under the age of 35, millennials and Gen Z, dropped out of ministry in the first 5 years. Within 5 years of ministry, 85% had given up. Now, that is a crazy stat. That is very alarming, but if you look at it from my perspective, I could see why that is. You see, to be a minister in the world today is difficult. To be a Christian in the world today is difficult. And so often, we want immediate success and immediate gratification. That's kind of how our culture has conditioned all of us. That you don't wait things out anymore. You want to see immediate results. And so, to pastor in that, to see a world that is becoming less and less Christian, looking less and less like God's vision for the world, to be a young hotshot preacher and come into the world with a mission from God to change all of that and not see immediate success could be hard. Could be soul-crushing, even, and so many give up. Eugene Peterson is an old pastor that planted a church in Maryland, a Presbyterian church, and he pastored there for 29 years. And this was not a megachurch. Eugene Peterson is not a megachurch pastor. He wasn't necessarily famous or super well-known. And after he retired, he settled down and shifted his ministry from pastoral ministry into translating the Bible. He spent every day translating the Bible into English, and that's where we get the translation called The Message today. And one time, someone was interviewing him, and he asked him what his strategy for ministry was, how he was able to do it for so long, how he was able to be so faithful with a church that never necessarily grew into a giant megachurch, to be a pastor that wasn't necessarily famous. And Eugene Peterson's answer was that to live the life of faith, is to enter in a long walk of obedience in the same direction. The life of faith is to enter into a long walk of obedience in the same direction. That was it. There's no frills, there's no tricks, there's no secret sauce. It's just a stubborn faithfulness and showing up day after day after day over time. Our prophet for today is much of the same. He's not flashy. Like I said, he doesn't have the same status or fame as some of the other prophets, but he makes a life and a ministry out of that long obedience in the same direction. Jeremiah was young when he got his call. It lays this out in the first chapter of Jeremiah. He was probably a late teenager or early 20s, and he lived 4 miles outside of Jerusalem in this no-name priestly town called Anathoth. He spent 40 years proclaiming God's message to the southern kingdom of Judah that almost entirely did not listen. Let me spell this out. So Jeremiah, he's about my age when he gets into ministry, and he goes in with this call from God that Judah is going in the wrong direction. They are headed towards a cliff. They've got a series of bad kings and opposition and all of this going against them. They're going the wrong way. And Jeremiah shows up year one, starts preaching. Repent and turn towards God. Live in the ways of the Lord and come back. And nobody listens. Now, if I'm Jeremiah and I go and am preaching for a year and I don't see any change, I might start getting a little bit insecure. In fact, Jeremiah, when he was first called, God calls him and his first reaction is, I can't do this, I'm too young. It's insecurity. So maybe after a year, Jeremiah is thinking, oh, maybe I am too young. Maybe I'm not good enough. Then 5 years go by. Still, no one turns back. It's got to be weighing even more and more and more on his heart. Maybe I'm not good enough. 10 years go by, same thing. 40 years of showing up every day and proclaiming the good news of God, and nothing changes. In fact, even worse, not only does nothing change, but the southern kingdom of Judah has a fleet of bad kings that treat them horribly, and then, by the end of it, he watches the nation that he loves so dearly, and the people of God who are called to be different, go in the wrong direction, get conquered, squandered, squashed, and sent into exile. And that's the end of Jeremiah's story. That's it. 40 years of showing up and preaching and proclaiming the message of God and nothing to show for it. No revival, no cultural shift, just rejection and loneliness and what feels like failure. But the hope is this, that even in Jeremiah's case, and especially in our case, that God does not view our ministry and failure and success the same way the world does. And that is our hope. Turn with me to Jeremiah 17, starting in verse 5. If you got your Bible with you or the Bible app on your phone, we'll be there. I think it will also be on the screen there. And we're going to be reading from the Message version today, not only because I quoted Eugene Peterson to start this out, but I love the way that he translates this passage. It says this, "This is God's message. Cursed is the one who depends on mere humans, who thinks he can make it on muscle alone and sets God aside as a dead weight. He is like a tumbleweed on the prairie, out of touch with the good earth. He lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. But blessed is the man who trusts in me, God. The woman who sticks with God, they are like trees planted in the Garden of Eden, putting roots down near rivers, never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit in every season." He goes on and says, "The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can seem to figure out. But I, God, search the heart and examine the mind. And I get to the heart of the human. I get to the root of all things. And I treat them as they really are, not as they pretend to be." Amen. Let's be honest. Faithfulness sounds great. It sounds noble. It sounds fun until it feels useless. Imagine this. You show up every day, and you try your best, and you pray your hardest, and you invite everyone, and you forgive, and you obey, and you do all the right things, and the fruit never comes. I was at the Byron Nelson tournament on Friday. I got to go, got tickets for that, and got to go on Friday while before the bottom fell out and it monsooned in the early afternoon. And one thing that you ought to know about me is I am maybe the biggest Jordan Spieth fan on the planet currently. I love Jordan Spieth. I grew up in the heyday of 2015 golf, and so he is Tiger Woods to me. And that was awesome. He's playing this week, and on Friday, he played at 7:23 in the morning. And so I forced Carly to go with me at 7 o'clock to get to the course very early and watch Jordan Spieth's round in the tournament. He was playing with Scottie Scheffler, and as I was watching it, I noticed something really, really interesting. First hole, he hit his opening shot to about 3 feet. Hit a perfect putt, it bounced offline, and just barely missed his birdie attempt. Tapped in for par. Second hole, very similar, hit it to about 8 feet, hit a perfect putt, got over it, it was tracking the whole way, and just barely missed. Tapped in for another par. The third hole, hits a perfect drive, just barely bounces off the edge of the fairway, goes up, and it's just barely in the second cut of rough. And he's got a shot into the green, and hits it as hard as he can, but the rough is so thick that the ball does not go anywhere. He ends up having to take a penalty, hits it onto the green, makes double bogey. And through three holes, Jordan Spieth has not hit a bad shot, has not put a bad swing or a bad putt on it, and is two over par where he ought to be, two under. He showed up, he did everything right, and instead of getting what he deserved, what he rightfully should have been two under, now he's two over, and 12 shots back of the leader, Scottie Scheffler, through three holes. That is what it's like. You see, there's a version of Christianity that I think sells really well. It says, you follow God and your life will turn out perfectly. Your marriage will heal, your kids will believe, your dollars will multiply, your influence will grow, you'll get the perfect job, you won't have any struggle in life, and blessings will fall down. But Jeremiah seems to throw a wrench in that plan. See, he was called by God, he's appointed before birth, and he spent his life preaching to a people that never turned around. 4 decades, and no results. Can you imagine doing everything right for 40 straight years and ending with no visible wins? Jeremiah is like a modern day Cowboys fan. Thank you. You see, he lived in the shadow of the temple. He was born in Anathoth, which is just a short walk from what was then religion at its finest. He knew the system. He was a preacher's kid. He's the son of a priest. He knew everything about the system. But when God called him, it wasn't to do things the same way they had always been done. It was to swim upstream. It was to go against the grain. It was to do things differently. God told him, prepped him from day one, said, they will fight against you. Not they might. Not, hey, Jeremiah, you're going to go and do this, and some are going to like it, some are not going to like it so much. You might get a little bit of pushback. No. He says, they will fight against you. Everyone. The priests, the kings, the neighboring countries, everyone. But God said, they will not overcome you because I am with you. And that is the ethos of Jeremiah's whole life. And it's not about success. It's not about numbers. It's not about anything that you can count on your hands. It's about God's presence and following his call, walking with God day after day. It's not about applause or fame. It's about being guided by God in everything that he did, regardless of the opposition, regardless of what it looked like, regardless of if it looked like a success or a failure. Jeremiah was confident that he was following God's call. And so even when it looked like a nightmare, even when Judah was sent into exile, he could remain faithful because he knew that faithfulness is that long road of obedience, step after step after step, showing up for the kingdom of God. Now let's take a step back and sit back into that Jeremiah 17 passage. One thing that you ought to know about Jeremiah 17 is it's a poem. And it's a contrast between where the people of God ought to be and where they are now. You've got one who trusts in man, which is what Judah is doing right now, and what most of us probably are doing right now. It's like a shrub in the desert. It's dry, it's brittle, it's rootless. It doesn't produce any fruit. But the one who trusts in God, it's like a tree planted by water, steady and green and bearing fruit in every season, in periods of long rain and periods of immense drought, that it doesn't have to worry because it trusts in God. You see, both trees feel the heat. Both trees are aware of the circumstances around them, but only one is able to survive. I think so many of us are under this assumption that to be a Christian, to get into this life of faith, means that we're going to be totally sheltered from any sort of opposition, that we're never going to feel the heat, that everything is going to be the good life from day one until we die. And that is just simply not what God promises. It's not what Jesus promises. It's not what the Old Testament or the New Testament lays out for us. But what our promise is that God is going to offer us resilience. He's going to offer himself to be with us every step of the way. That we just need to trust in him and follow his guide. But Jeremiah takes it a little bit deeper, because at the end of that section in chapter 17, he says, the heart is deceitful. Because it's not just our circumstances that weigh us down. Oftentimes, it's our hearts, it's our minds that whisper to us, this whole thing that you're doing, this following God, is pointless. Look at everything that you're doing, all of this work that you're putting in. Maybe you're not really called to this. Maybe this is all just ridiculous. But God says that he will be with us, and he will guide us every step of the way. Look back at Jeremiah's earliest life. Immediately when he's called, he goes into insecurity. God calls him and says he's going to be the prophet that brings Judah God's message. He says, I don't know about this, God. I'm too young. I don't have any experience. And if there is one section of scripture that I can relate to most, it is this one. I said earlier, this is a year that I've been at St. Andrew. And so about a year and a half ago, I sat down over coffee at Foxtrot on SMU's campus with the great Reverend Jimmy Decker. And we were going over goals for ministry, and he was kind of getting to know me before we really had known anything. I had the scholarship at St. Andrew, but I was working as a college pastor at SMU. And he asked me, point blank, he said, what do you want to do? Like, what is your goal for ministry? And I explained to him that I felt called to bring my generation the gospel, to inspire and empower my generation to live like Christ. And he paused for a second. He said, okay, well, how would you like to do that at St. Andrew? And I looked at him. This is the God's honest truth. I said, Jimmy, that sounds awesome. But I've been a college pastor for about 5 months now, and I don't have any experience, and I'm 25 years old. I'm not sure I'm the guy here. And he looked at me and said, it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you've been, because if you're following God's call, it'll work out exactly how he's planned it. So I went home and prayed, and here we are a year later. But it's looking back at that, to see God's faithfulness every step of the way. Because the truth of the matter is, I'm not the most experienced. I'm not the smartest, I'm not the best leader, but even in my own times of insecurity, I've been able to lean on God and know that even in the raging storms and the best days, that God's with me and he's with all of you. That all we have to do is go into that long walk of obedience and faithfulness to God's message. I heard the story of a public school counselor a little while ago. And every week they see these kids with tough home lives. And they pray at their desk for these kids. They try to love. They try to speak hope into their lives. And most days, nothing changes. They once said, I don't know if anything I do actually matters, but I believe that God has asked me to show up, and so I show up. And that's it. That is the life of Jeremiah. So what for us? Well, maybe you're here and you've been praying again and again and again for someone who hasn't come back to the faith. Maybe you're quietly living your faith life at work and wondering if it even matters. Maybe you're young and unsure. Maybe you're old and just beat down. Let Jeremiah remind you this, that it's not about outcomes. It's about obedience. God is still watching over each and every one of us, and he will bring us through, even if we don't see it. So show up again, pray again, forgive again, and stand firm and trust in the Lord. And one day, at the end of it all, maybe someone will ask you how you did it, how you got through all of the storms. And you'll be able to look at them and say that same thing that Eugene Peterson did. The life of faith is not about the highs and lows. It's about showing up day after day and walking that long walk of obedience in the same direction towards God. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for a day that we can come and praise you. Would you speak into our lives and touch our hearts and send us out in a way that proclaims the good news and the truth of you, the truth of the gospel in every situation that we're in. Let us be people that, regardless of the circumstances, in the rain and in the drought, that we bear fruit for you, that we show people what the good life is. Would you be with us every step of the way? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.